Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Although knitting and other handicrafts are having a bit of a moment during the pandemic as we all try to keep ourselves busy at home, the art and practice of knitting goes back a long way through history. I'm Eva Higginbotham, and I spoke with Loretta Napoleoni, a journalist and author who last year wrote a book about the power and history of knitting.
We have to wait until the Middle Ages, when the church, during the Crusades most likely, discover these beautiful knitted items coming from the Middle East and from the Far East. Now, in the Far East and in the Middle East, knitting had been carried out at much higher level. So for beauty, for aesthetics. So the church most likely commissioned the production of cushions, for example, or drapes for the church in order to celebrate the Catholic religion. So we see knitting coming into Europe as an expression of art during that time. And in 1350, we have the first paintings, one from Italy and one from Germany, of the Madonna's knitting.
But it took until the Renaissance before knitting took on new life as something more high fashion, with the invention of the purl and stitch, the two types of stitches that are fundamental in modern knitting, which can produce lots of different patterns and a very smooth and comfortable knit.
So it was at that time, in the 1500s, the Italian merchants who had access to silk, because Marco Polo brought the silk from China, decided to produce silk stockings. And these were extra fine stockings, absolutely beautiful, extremely expensive to produce. They were produced in sweatshops with tiny, tiny needles. The royals of Europe went absolutely crazy for that kind of product, and everybody wanted to wear them, especially men. If you remember those pictures of Henry VIII with the short pants showing these white legs covered, of course, in silk stockings. These stockings were super expensive. Some comparison of prices, for example, the king of Denmark spent more money per year in buying socks than in paying his staff.
Puts my regular cotton socks to shame. Although nowadays it's easy to take knitted materials and other textiles for granted, there are some key moments in history where knitting in particular has played a vitally important role. One example is during the American Revolution.
So in 1600, the British sent some ships from Sussex to Massachusetts, and that flock proved to be particularly good for that part of the world, and they multiplied, and the wool was high quality. By 1660, wool was more precious than tobacco, for example, in the colonies. So wool was really a very, very important product of the colonies.
But England started getting nervous that the colonies would start exporting the wool themselves, cutting off England from the financial gains. So they passed the Wool Act, the first of a series of acts that triggered the American Revolution and a War of Independence. The American colonies were prohibited from exporting wool anywhere other than England, and the sale of wool was heavily taxed, and they were prohibited from buying textiles from anywhere apart from England.
At that point, the colonies decided to boycott the British textile. So that was a very, very courageous decision, because of course they did have, you know, the raw material, but they didn't have the factories, they didn't have, you know, the way to transform this raw material, so the raw wool, into textile. So at that point, the women decided to supply every single need of textile in the colonies, and they start knitting together. So they would meet in houses, in public places, libraries, anywhere. They would bring all their equipment in the morning and then knit or weave or spin all day long. They were called the spinning bees because, you know, they acted really like bees. And the movement that was called the homespun movement became a symbol of the revolution. People wore hand-knitted, hand-spun clothes all the time as a sign of participation to the movement to become independent from England. When the war started, the women also clothed the army.
Time to look at that woolly scarf in a whole new light. That was Loretta Napoleoni speaking about the history of knitting from her new book, The Power of Knitting.